Special welcome. Hi, it's Monday. We're starting out the week again. Hi, Mary Jane Pop here. Welcome to Pop Off. And we are going to do it this week. Have I got some great guests for you this week, especially today. Do you remember back in 1997 when Dolly was first cloned? Was it 97 or 99? Actually, 97. Dolly the sheep was first cloned. We are going to be talking to the man who led the team that actually cloned Dolly. I'm really curious to see if they cloned anything else and where we stand at this point. His name is Wilmot, Ian Wilmot, and he actually is in New York. He's from Scotland. They actually did the cloning in Scotland. And he is in New York doing interviews, and we are so fortunate because he's not doing that many interviews in the country. And we're lucky enough to get him on Pop Off today, and we'll find out exactly what's going on. Of course, we'll also have, this guy is such a kick. I can't believe him. He calls himself the lazy guy. It's the lazy type Z guide to success. This guy doesn't even work on Mondays, which really surprised me because he's going to do an interview with us today. And we're going to strike a blow against those high energy prices. Don't they drive you nuts? It's not only the gas prices, but I don't know how you guys are faring in the rest of the country, but on the West Coast, we are sweltering. And as a result of that, you know, the prices are going to go sky high for that air conditioning to keep us cool down just for survival rate. You know what I mean? I mean, we've had problems in major parts of the country. We've heard this over the last few years where people actually die because they don't have even a fan to keep cool. And that's very, very dangerous. Anyway, we've got a great show set up for you today. Reminder, please, I want to hear from you. I want to know where you're at, where you're listening from. So email me, Mary Jane at Popoff. That's popoff.com. Mary Jane at popoff.com. Hey, I've got some great photos there from the Capitol, the first 2 days of our show. We've got photos of some of the senators, some of the kind of national senators that we have here. Plus, I've got a picture of Arnie the Terminator, and I took some pictures with him. So we've got a lot of good stuff up on the website. Go to popoff.com. Again, that's two P's and two F's. The reason I really would like to know where you're calling, or rather emailing from, is because very soon the book Marilyn, Joe, and Me is going to be coming out and going to be on a book tour, going to take the show with us. Wherever we are, we're plugging in and doing the show. And who knows? We may be coming to your city. I would like to let you know when we're going to be there. That's the fun part of being able to do this kind of show, especially through the Internet and, of course, BBS Radio. Pop Off is coming to you via bbsradio.com. Fantastic, fastest-growing network on the air, and more to come. Believe me, as a matter of fact, we may be on some of the stations where you happen to live, so I'll keep you posted on that, too. But before we do that, it is the beginning of the week. Are you ready for the beginning of the week? Are you ready for what is going to be in store? Well, if you aren't... We got to find out. It's time to get ready for that work week. So we need some idea if it's going to be positive. So to the point goes Esther Bear, our Pop-Off psychic numerologist. She's got our number, and hopefully she can predict what's going to be happening. Hello, Esther.
Hi, Mary Jane.
Hey, what a great day, huh?
Not bad.
It's hot on the West Coast, but you know what? We're surviving.
Well, you know, this whole month, remember, we talked about expect the unexpected, and that includes the weather and all the floods back east and the hot out here.
Yeah, you've been saying, look out, this is going to be a really wild and wacky year.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not going to be over. Like, when is it going to be over?
January, we start a brand new year. So, hopefully, we get a little bit different next year.
So, we got to survive till then, huh?
Oh, I think so. We just have to pay attention to our little daily cycles and our monthly cycles and handle them accordingly, we'll make it through it okay.
Any really rotten stay-at-home pull-the-covers-over-your-head days this week?
Yeah, today's one of them.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, they already have the Spirit of the Air Day, so you don't want to be out there if you don't have to.
Yeah, that means if you want to breathe, right?
Oh, yeah. And when days show restrictions, and that also has to do with health, it's not just cars. So you can have car problems, but you can also have health problems. So these are the days you don't want to go out if you don't have to.
Okay.
So this is not a good one.
I'm staying home.
Thursday's our other bad one we have to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thursday repeats again on Saturday.
Oh, really?
So those are accident-prone days, and those are also could be health problem days.
So be careful if you're out there driving around, you know, be aware, look over your shoulder, look twice in the mirror, right?
Oh, you betcha. And tomorrow everybody's going to be wanting to run around crazy, so they'll be going fast tomorrow.
Why do we do that?
Oh, we want to get there before the accident.
Oh,
I figured that one out a long time ago. I wait till way after the accident. I come up way in the rear. Some want to get there before, some want to be there during.
Yeah, and don't do the rubbernecking. Don't you hate it?
Oh, yeah.
That's what backs everything up, and more accidents happen.
And that causes more. And so on these fast days, it's like everybody is in a hurry. Nobody wants to go slow.
Mm-hmm.
And it matches the month. So this whole month, they've been running around kind of crazy.
Mm.
But when it matches on the day, it's worse.
How about business this week?
Business actually is pretty good. This whole month has to do with printed things, so things that you want to put in writing or print.
Oh, boy. I'm
wonderful.
Out soon.
And this week is ending. So if you have to finish up things that are paperwork,
mm-hmm.
things that are legal, this is a wonderful week to do that. So clean up all the loose ends.
Very cool.
And business days are actually good most of the week. Friday's a real good day for money and power, and Sunday for those people who are self-employed. Sunday's a good day for business also.
Excellent. Now, what about colors? I mean, because colors do have an influence on
them. Oh, you betcha.
Mm-hmm.
You betcha. This month, one of the best colors is sapphire blue.
Ooh.
And this week, we're into reds.
Reds?
So reds and blues. That kind of cancels out each other, but with health problems, the week brings in circulation problems.
Hmm.
And red speeds up your metabolism, so it makes your body work better when you can't get out there and run around, especially in these bad air days.
Oh, that doesn't sound like too bad.
Yeah, so red is a good color this week.
Well, red, but see, when it's hot out, you know, you want to wear light colors.
That's true, and any shades of red, that includes pink.
Oh.
So, you know, pink is a higher energy of red, so it's not as hot.
I can do pink.
Yes. Pink is nice. You look good in all colors.
Now, if people want to get a hold of you personally and talk about the... And you do pet readings, you do personal readings, you do parties, and you do them all over the country.
Oh, you betcha.
And a lot of the personal types of things, even the pet readings, can be done by phone, right?
Yeah, a lot of them can, yes.
Okay, how do they get a hold of you?
They can call me at 916-427-8727.
Sounds like a wiener.
Oh, you betcha.
Hey, thank you so much, Esther.
You take care, sweetie, and just have everybody slow down so we don't have any big boo-boos.
You betcha, and keep us on the straight and narrow because Lord knows we need it.
Oh, you betcha. We'll be better next week.
Thank you, my love.
Okay.
Hey.
Bye-bye, sweetie.
So look for a super, super week on Pop Off, and we do. I mean, we've got some great guests. Like tomorrow, I've got his makeup artist to the stars, Peter Lamas, is going to be joining us. But coming up, we're going to strike a blow against high energy prices because people are going nuts, yours truly included. Boy, I'll tell you, we are sending out an SOS big time. They say, don't you love it when they come up with this? Well, the gas prices have now gone down, and isn't that absolutely wonderful? Well, they've gone down to, in California, it's still a little higher than the rest of the country, $2.89, $2.99. You know, that's not that great as far as I'm concerned. And the energy rates for the home, that heating and air conditioning, especially right now, air conditioning, they're soaring. Now, will there ever be an end to this? oil prices are hiked, but let's not discount the electric rates either. They're soaring to record levels nationwide. Are you ready for this? Baltimore. Rates are going up this summer as much as up. I can't believe it's 145%. Doubling in Delaware, double in Massachusetts. We're getting fed up, you and I both. Energy expert Bob Klebauer says it ain't going to get better, but there is something that you can do to keep those bills from bombing your budget. Hey, Bob, nice to have you on the show. Better get that information out really fast because, boy, do we need it.
It's good to be with you, Mary Jane. Thank you.
I appreciate it. You know, it is amazing. They keep going. It goes up, up and up and up, and then they reduce it a little bit, and then we feel, thank God they reduced it a little bit. Then you feel comfortable at a new level every time.
Right. You know, this past weekend, that was really evident. Every gas station I went to was within, one was down in the, I think the cheapest one I saw was like in the mid-280s, and then I seen some over 305.
Oh, yeah.
So it was, you know, amazing.
And, you know, it doesn't seem to end. And like I said, on the California coast, we get crazy because we've got all these refineries out here, and they're saying, we got no oil. What the heck are those refineries doing out here?
Yeah, I really don't know. All I know is that, you know, being in the energy business like I've been for the past 9 years, Mary Jane, I've seen natural gas prices go up 600%, coal prices go up 400%, and the price of a barrel of oil has more than doubled.
Well, I'm telling you, as far as I'm concerned, they're playing this, and they're playing this big time.
Well, you know, here's the problem, Mary Jane, is that we have natural gas and coal, which are fuels of choice to generate electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know, common sense tells you that if the cost of natural gas has gone up 600%, and the cost of coal has gone up 400%, then you can't make the electricity or generate the electricity at the cost that you're used to generating it at. The
yeah.
price has to go up because the cost of the fuel has gone up so much to generate the electricity.
Okay. But you're also talking about that we're paying for electrical waste. In what way?
Oh, that's correct. Each home, Mary Jane, has the same problem. Each home in America, our inductive motors in our houses, and when I say inductive motors, I'll clarify myself,
okay.
Our air conditioners, our refrigerators, our freezers, our washers, our dryers, our pool pumps, anything, fans, blower motors, anything that you can think of that has a motor in it is what's called an inductive load. And that inductive load requires so much reactive or non-working power from your local utility in order to create the electromagnetic field around the motor to make it operate properly.
Hmm.
And what happens, Mary Jane, when that reactive power goes to that load to be used, it doesn't use all of the reactive power. So what it doesn't use, it sends back through your distribution system,
mm-hmm.
back to your panel, your breaker box, have you. And then it's dispersed as heat, and that's what you call line losses. And the problem is, Mary Jane, it's already come through your meter, and you've already paid for it. So that's the waste that we've been paying for forever. And now we have the answer to that.
How much is waste?
Excuse me?
How much is waste?
Well, it could be as little as 10% of a customer's usage. We've seen it as much as 30% of a customer's usage.
Even 10%, that's a lot.
Yeah, it really depends on the size of the house. The bigger the house, the more losses you have.
Sure, I understand that. Okay, so we're losing some of that electrical waste. No matter what, it's going away.
That's right.
So do we take it and say, no, you're not going anyplace. You're going to go right back into this so I can use you.
Right. We're losing it and we're paying for it.
Yeah. So what do we do?
Well, we have the PowerSave 1200 from PowerSave Energy Corp in California.
What the heck is that?
And it's a 6x6 box device that is loaded with capacitor banks on the inside.
Okay, now
so
wait,
that,
wait a minute. Speak English.
Okay.
What does that
capacitor
mean?
Banks are just little like tube-like devices that capture and store electricity. You can store electricity in capacitor banks.
Oh, so it's like a little storage bin.
Yes.
Okay.
So what happens is you install this on your breaker box so that when the reactive power comes back through, instead of losing it, you have one wire installed on the negative, what's called the negative bus bar on your panel,
uh-huh.
and it captures the reactive power and stores it in the capacitor banks so that your inductive load, your motors, can now operate off of the reactive power that's stored in the capacitor banks instead of asking for more demand from the utility.
But will it use that up before then it asks for the more?
Well, no, it's constantly pushing in and pulling out, so it never loses it.
Oh, okay.
It always has stored power in it.
Oh, okay. Now, okay? You say you install this. You make it sound so easy.
What about us mechanically
impaired folks?
Okay. Well, we do recommend that an electrician install it. So we have a national account with Mr. Electric, and they're all over the country. So if you want to, you know, if you want to contact them, they'll come out and gladly put one in your home for you. They only take about 20 or 30 minutes to install.
Okay.
Very simple, very easy to do. Some folks look at it and say, boy, I can do this myself, because it really is very easy. But we do recommend an electrician do it.
Okay, now, what are we talking about in cost of this device?
Okay, this product costs $312, including shipping, shipped to your door.
Okay.
Now, the average customer is going to save as little as $30 a month or as much as $100 or more dollars a month on their bill. So the return on investment is about 6 to 12 months.
Yeah. So in other words, in about 10 to 12 months, you're going to recoup your money.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get your money back rather quickly, especially with where rates are today.
Yeah, I'm looking on the conservative side. Say we save $30 a month. You know?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's a savings.
Oh, yeah. It's all money in your pocket. The product has a 5-year manufacturer's warranty. It is UL listed, NASA tested. We are an Energy Star partner company. We are a publicly traded company on the NASDAQ also. So the product has been through all the testing and everything it needed to go through before we actually started offering it to the public.
Now, are we talking about, you know, pretty heavy price for an electrician to come out and put this thing in?
No. No, electricians are, especially with the national accounts that we have, they're fairly, I mean, it's very inexpensive for it to be installed. It's not a big job for them to do whatsoever.
Okay.
They're not even in your house for an hour or anywhere near it.
Okay, give me an idea of what an inexpensive electrician is.
An inexpensive install is probably going to be somewhere between $50 and
$100. Oh, okay. All right, so we're not talking outrageous money.
No, you're not talking outrageous amount of money to have it installed at all, no.
Now, how many of these things are installed every place?
We have about 26,000 of them in homes across America today.
Okay.
And we have never had one returned because it didn't do what we said it would do.
Really?
Because we do offer a 60-day money-back guarantee on it. So
that's good.
We do give customers time to use it. And I'll tell you, Mary Jane, once we put them on, you can't take them off with a crowbar.
Really? Now, what does the power company say about this?
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword for them. They're kind of glad in a way because particularly in the summertime when their demand goes up, and they have to, you know, there's a lot of air conditioning, cooling, so there's a large demand for electricity at that time, which means they have to go out on the spot market and buy more expensive electricity to augment what they've already bought for their customers. They like it in that respect because it does cut demand down.
Yeah, they're always telling us to save, you know.
Right, but there's another reason why they wouldn't like it is because they are what's known as local distribution companies. Mm-hmm. They make their profit off of distributing KWH. And if customers start paying or using a lot less, then you're actually taking money out of their pocket. So it's a double-edged sword for them. In one respect, they like it. In the other respect, they don't.
Now, what's the environmental impact of this?
The environmental impact is fantastic because, as a matter of fact, we are Cleaner Greener certified by Cleaner Greener Association of America.
Is that good?
Which means that if people are using a lot less electricity, then there's a lot less greenhouse gases being thrown into the air to make electricity to no longer have to make because it's being saved if everybody's using a lot less. Also, you're looking at using a lot less natural gas, which means that demand for natural gas goes down, and that's the problem in our supply and demand markets today.
What have you
done? Yeah, and see, Mary Jane, that is the problem with supply and demand markets.
Yeah.
If we keep asking for more demand than there is supply, the market's going to keep going up.
You betcha. You betcha. Because if everybody, the more you need, the more they say, oh, well, we can get higher prices for it. Of course. That's called capitalism.
Can I mention one more fantastic part about the PowerSafe 1200?
You betcha.
Okay. It is also a transient volt surge suppressor, and I'll put that in English terms.
Please.
If you get a power surge in your house, let's say a lightning strike hits the transformer pole,
yeah,
or the line outside, and the surge comes down the line into your house,
yeah,
you could fry everything that's plugged into the wall in your home.
Yeah.
Now, Mary Jane, people have $5,000 plasma televisions in their house today.
Yep.
This product will take the hit and it will blow, but it will protect everything in your house
really?
from that surge. Okay? Now, I want folks listening out there to understand that there is nothing in the world made today that will protect you from a direct hit from lightning. Nothing.
Yeah.
But it will protect you from that type of surge that hits the pole, the line, or the transformer.
Now, how do they get more information on this?
Okay. Folks can go to www.power-save.com. Power-save.com.
Okay.
And we also have a toll-free number that you can call and order one. Is 1-800-962-3076.
I'll put all this up on my website, too, so people can go there in case they didn't have a pencil or whatever, okay?
Well, we certainly do appreciate it, Mary Ellen, and we thank you for having me on today.
Well, I'm going to make a challenge, though. Okay? You ready?
Okay.
You send me one of these devices, I'll try it. If it works, I'm going to come back and say I'll endorse it for you.
Okay. Off air, you get me your information. I'll have one sent out to you.
You done. Done deal. Because, I mean, I don't mind doing this, and I don't mind presenting this to my listeners. But I always want to do a double check on it myself. And if it works, you betcha I'm going to...
Mary Jane, I did the same thing myself. As a matter of fact, to all your listeners, if you go online and you look online, you're going to see my electric bills for me on there. And you'll see the decrease usage. It is so obvious to the eye, it's not funny.
Well, especially in California, boy, do we need it right now. So I'll be in touch with you, Bob, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for
good
being
good talking to you, Mary Ellen.
No,
Power-save.com.
It's Mary Jane, but that's okay. Take care.
Thank you, Mary Jane. All right. Bye-bye.
Again, it is www.power-save.com. Power-save.com or 800-962-3076. And seriously, I am going to try it. I'm a firm believer. I like to present these ideas to you. I really, really do. But I'm kind of a funny person. I want to see if it's tested out. Now, they give you a lot of research, and I'm not saying I don't believe. But the true believer says, I'll try it out myself, and then we'll find out if it actually does work. So I will do that, and then I will have him back, and I will report to you. We're going to save on Pop-Off. At least we're going to give it a good shot. To think, you know, wouldn't it be just wonderful if we could just kind of kick back and relax and not have to work so hard? Well, I remember back, this is quite a few years ago, when we used to say, you know, we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do in our leisure time because we're not going to be working 40 hours a week or 50 hours a week. And I don't know about you, but I'm working even more than that. But it changed. Unbelievable. It's just one of those things that kind of makes you a little crazy. So, I want to make sure that we have a way to be able to enjoy ourselves. And enjoying yourself is the way to do it with a man by the name of Mark Ellen. And we're going to try and get a hold of him so we can talk about his Type Z Guide to Success. Well, you know, this guy is pretty laid back. It's kind of a fun thing. He doesn't work an eight-hour day. In fact, Mark Allen refuses to work on Mondays, and it really kind of surprises me. He's actually going to be talking with us today. But he is kind of a funny guy. I love him. I think this is a great idea. I hope it actually works. It does for him because he's a successful person. No early mornings, and heaven forbid should it be more than 30 hours a week. He just does not do more than 30 hours a week. Yet he is president of a successful publishing company. He's a writer. He's a speaker. He's a composer. A self-made millionaire who claims to have a clear outline with an easy-to-follow path to wealth and success in his book called The Type Z Guide to Success. Hey, Mark, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Well, thanks for having me.
You know, I love the concept. Now, thank you so much for talking with us on Monday, because I know normally you don't work on Monday.
Right, that's true. Or mornings.
As usual, you know, the word success, we always say the people who are successful are type A personalities. And that's why you call this the type Z, because you're way on the other side of the spectrum, right?
Right. Uh-huh. I've always been lazy. I now have an 8-year-old boy. He's just like me. He does not like to get up mornings. He doesn't get energy until into the afternoon and into the evening, and then he's impossible to get to bed at night. I'm the same way.
Oh, my God. Now, when did you come up with this concept? Were you always a type Z?
I was, yeah. I always had trouble with school, and I always had trouble with the prevailing belief in our culture that you've got to work really hard, especially if it involves getting up in the morning 5 days a week and working 40 hours. I had a problem with that.
Uh-huh.
So in my 20s, I became an actor, and then I was a musician for a while, and those hours are great. I love those hours. But everything fell apart. My theater company fell apart, and then my band fell apart, and I wandered around. I went to a Zen center, and I got kicked out for breaking the rules. And besides, you had to get up at 5:30 in the morning. And then I turned 30, and that day changed my life. At age 30, I had no job, no income at all, no assets of any kind, no family support. I was on my own and broke. And that day, I did some very simple things that I can easily teach people in 5 minutes that completely changed my life.
Okay, you got 5 minutes. Go
great.
For it.
Yeah, the thing I did, and I always say to people, take it and adapt it to your own needs. But the day I turned 30, I paced up and down in a state of shock, realizing I wasn't a kid anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Then I thought, okay, what do I want to do with my life? A very good question.
Okay.
I hadn't really asked that bluntly. I took a sheet of paper and I wrote ideal scene at the top, because I'd heard about this game years before where you imagine 5 years have passed and everything has gone as well as you can imagine. What would your life look like?
Okay.
And I did that at age 30, my ideal. Much to my amazement, I had my own publishing company, wrote books, recorded music. I had a big white home in a beautiful place. And none of which, you know, I hadn't written a book, I hadn't recorded any music, I knew nothing about business, but that was my ideal. Then I stared at that and realized within that I had a list of goals, and I took another sheet of paper and I just listed all my goals. And then what I did, what really worked for me, is I took a third sheet of paper. I had about 12 goals, I remember. Start a publishing company, build a successful company, start writing a book. A lot of starts in there because I had nothing happening. And I took another sheet of paper and I rewrote each goal as an affirmation, as if it was happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And I tacked on this great phrase I heard from Catherine Ponder, a Unity Church minister. On each affirmation I wrote, in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, then I had my goal. I am now creating a successful publishing company.
Mm-hmm.
In an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, I am now writing a successful book. I rewrote all my goals as affirmations. I started affirming them, and then, of course, all kinds of doubts and fears came up, and the biggest part of my book, The Type Z Guide, is dealing with doubts and fears.
Yeah.
Once I dealt with those a bit, I found for every major goal, ideas came up as I kept affirming it. And I did, you know, when I was 30, what I still do to this day, for every major goal, I have a single-page plan. I have the goal at the top, and in writing, I have a single-page plan. I often say, how many people really dare to dream and to go for their dreams, and how many people put that plan to go for their dreams in writing.
Well, you know what the problem is? And I think you solve that problem. Too many people have a tendency to want a dream, but they want someone else to hand it to them on a platter.
Right. That was definitely me all through my 20s and into my 30s. I was always waiting for someone else to come along and manage me as an artist. Mm-hmm. And then once I started a company, I was waiting for someone to come along and run it and do all the details I didn't want to do.
Right. And they don't knock on your door. You got to go knock on theirs.
Right. I've found you have to get something going. And once something is actually going, then the right people tend to show up.
And also, you got to be energetic enough to write down your goals. I mean, if you're too lazy to do that, forget it.
True. But it only took me about 10 minutes. And I say, you know, because I allow myself to be lazy a lot, and I do. I sleep late. I sleep whenever I feel like it. Then I do find I have tremendous energy at times for a while. And in those times, I accomplish a great deal. So you can be lazy but still be persistent. That's the key for me anyway.
And you have to be, well, there's a certain amount of driven. You're driven because you have these goals in mind too.
Right.
And you want to get them done, and you want to get them done now. Too many times when we have too much time, we keep putting it up. We procrastinate. You know, I'll do it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not doing it tomorrow. You're doing it today so that you can rest tomorrow.
Right. I'm doing it when I feel like it, when I really have energy for it. And I do find, this is rare for a Monday. I do take every Monday just for myself. I take Sunday for family, and then Monday is for myself. And then always Tuesday when I get up, I am full of energy, and I go into my office. There's no place I'd rather be. Mm-hmm. I whip through 100 emails. I'm working very efficiently. And I often say to these type A's that work 60 hours a week, I say, you aren't working efficiently half that time.
There you go. That's true.
It would be better to take a break and take a nap.
Now, these goals that you have, don't they have to be realistic? I mean, you can't say, you know, I want to become a millionaire in 60 days.
Right, right. That's a very good point. They do have to be realistic. The goal of being a millionaire is a very good goal, but you can't do it in 60 days, most people. Unless you win a lottery.
Yeah.
But by affirming I am now in an easy and relaxed manner creating total financial success, that really worked for me, that affirmation where I kept telling myself, I'm now creating it, I'm now creating it. It took about 5 years for me to go from zero to a millionaire. Now, I made a lot of mistakes in those 5 years and had a lot of mostly inner work I needed to do with my own doubts and fears.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believed what I'd been told by my father, you have to work really hard to succeed. A startup company requires 60 to 80 hours a week work.
Wow.
Well, I didn't want to do that.
Probably killed your father early, too.
Well, he retired, but he did say at the end if he had to do it over again, he'd never work 35 years for the same corporation in a job he didn't like, which is what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, he came around to really appreciate what I had been doing, which
and
I was glad to see.
And we're such a driven society. The United States, we have in a way, we have a problem. There are many, many other societies that take a break, and they learn how to play. You know, we try and play within a week or two of a vacation a year, and the rest of the time, we've got to be there, got to work, got to hard, instead of saying, look, a little bit in between will keep you fresh.
Yes, I know. I did it as an experiment because I really didn't have much of a role model for success with ease. Is it possible? This is a question I ask everybody. You know, do they believe? Because it all gets down to what we believe, because our beliefs tend to be self-fulfilling. Do we believe it's even possible to have a life of ease and still succeed doing what we love to do? That, for me, is the critical question. Do we even believe it? If we don't believe it, we'll never create it.
And, you know, it doesn't hurt to like what you're doing, either.
No, I think that's key. That was a key I was born with. I think we're all born with some real strengths, and then we're all clueless in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
And a strength I was born with was I knew how important it was to do what I loved to do. I didn't compromise. I didn't go into business when my father said I should go into business. Another thing my father told me, I remember vividly, he said, well, you know, if you work for a corporation, you only work 40 hours a week, and you still have another 40 hours to do your creative thing. And I remember thinking, no, Dad, that won't work for me. If I work 40 hours at a job I don't like, I'll need another 40 hours to recover from that. And there goes my creative life.
We are a funny society, though. You know, it's like we've brought our people up to train them. You know, it's like trained seals. You know, you're going to work 40 hours a week. You're going to get your 2 weeks vacation. And then the rest of the time, and especially if you're salaried, you know, which means your management, that's not a 40-hour week because you're taking all your paperwork home and you're working on weekends. And you're working for one entity and nothing for your own dream.
Right. Right, exactly. And so I decided to experiment and do a whole other model where I just work as much as I like. Over the years, what it finally worked out to is I spend about 30 hours a week focused work. And I spend about 30 hours a week with my family, and I spend about 30 hours a week alone.
Mm.
That's what works for me.
That's good. Well, you know, that 30 hours alone, we need alone time. I think too many people feel, I've always got to have something around me. I always have to have something to do. Why? You know, relax. Your creative juices do not come when your brain is so busy and so crazed that you have no time to think.
Yep. Definitely my best, most creative ideas and the ideas that have made me the most money have come when I've been alone.
Really?
They don't come when I'm behind my desk taking care of details. They come when I'm just strolling around my house or doing nothing.
And kind of interesting because I always do kind of a walk, jog. I don't jog a lot, but, you know, kind of a power walk. And that half hour every day that I do that, I know it doesn't sound like much, but a half hour, that's my time to think. And I, for a while, I started taking my cell phone with me, and I said, stupid, what am I doing that for? Leave it home. Because the creative juices were kind of coming. You know, you'd see the beautiful trees. Some ideas were there. I kind of lined up what I was going to do that afternoon. But I wasn't pressured like I would be in home in front of my computer or on another phone call and trying to get everything set up. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Now, the book itself, The Type Z Guide to Success, and I love this the subtitle, A Lazy Person's Manifesto for Wealth and Fulfillment. How do they get the book?
Well, it's available now. It's just shipped, so it should be in a store near you. It's on Amazon. There also is a very innovative e-book version you can get by going to www.successwithease.net. You can get the whole first part of it free.
Ooh.
Successwithease.net.
Successwithease.net.
Yeah, and it's got audio coaching for me on there. It's got some animation. We had a lot of fun with it. It's got a little relaxing mini movie you can click on and hear my music and see some slides, and a little text pops up saying, are you feeling stressed out? Take a deep breath and relax.
That's cool. I like that. So, again, it's successwithease.net, and they can get it there or at the bookstore. And, again, it's simple. You didn't make this real complicated either.
No, it's
good.
Very simple. I need to understand things very simply before they work for me. So it is in very simple language a teenager can understand.
Well, keep up the good work, and maybe, you know, I'll have to give you a call. I've got a book coming out, but when I do my second book, I'll have to call you.
Do that.
Because you've got a publishing company, and maybe we can make a deal.
Right. I'd love to see your book.
Because after this first one, trust me, I do want to be lazy on the second one. This one has driven me absolutely stark raving mad. Well, it's great. Wait, I have to get you a copy of it when it comes out. Coming out later this year. It's called Marilyn, Joe, and Me. June DiMaggio is the niece of Joe DiMaggio, the baseball player.
Uh-huh.
And these are her memories of Joe and Marilyn Monroe, who she knew like over 11 years, and other stars when she was a little starlet in Hollywood.
Aww.
These are behind-the-scenes stories. These are not the stuff that anybody's seen before. But here's the clincher, what I had to learn in the publishing company, or business, I should say. There are about 70 photos in there. I never knew you have to get permission from everybody and their brother-in-law before you can use a photo.
Oh, yes.
Well, see, I come from television, radio and television. You can put anything on there as long as you credit it, you know?
Right.
So, but I'm learning the business fast.
Right.
But the next one's going to be a lot easier than this one, Mark. Trust
Great.
Me.
It's a wonderful business, publishing. It really is a partnership model. Okay, and compared to that, television, movies, they're much more stressful, and as Rian Azu would say, even more dominator model. It's a matter of power.
You bet.
Book publishing is very fair to everyone. They love authors. They treat them well. It's a beautiful industry.
We will talk, Mark.
Yes.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Mary Jane. I really enjoyed it.
Take care now. Bye-bye. That's Mark Allen. The name of the book again, The Type V Guide to Success. And that website again is www.successwithease.net. And I'll put that, all these things, what I do, just to let you know, on the website, popoff.com, what I have projected for this week, like it's up there already, is everything that we're going to have on this week. So it gives you a good idea of each show. And then at the end of the week, like on Saturday, then I put up all the phone numbers, websites, and everything of the guests that we had on for that week, and then project the next week. So that way you know what we've had on and how to get a hold of these people and what's coming up on Pop Off. And talking about what's coming up, this has got to be one of the most fascinating topics that I have ever heard of. We heard of Dolly. Remember the sheep? Okay. This is the man who led the team that actually created Dolly. And I'm kind of curious as to what's coming up. You're going to find out on Pop Off. Talking about living twice. Maybe you're living forever? Is it possible? Boy, I remember all the hoopla back in 1997, and I'm sure you do too. Remember Dolly? I'll tell you, this is absolutely incredible. This was back in 1997. The world was absolutely shocked, and I, you know, myself included, to learn that scientists cloned the first mammal. And it was a sheep named Dolly. Incredible. Just incredible. You know, it's one of those things where you say, hey, I wonder if something is going to be happening again. We've got Dolly. We've got a sheep that was cloned. I'm not sure how long Dolly lived, though. That was the kind of question that I had. The lead scientist carried out that experiment at the Roslin Institute in Scotland. Now, Ian Wilmot and his colleagues made that breakthrough. Now, in his book called After Dolly, it's all about cloning. And Ian tells the real story. And Ian is an embryologist. Ian, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Thank you for asking me.
Thank you so much. You know, we were all absolutely in awe in 1997 when we heard about Dolly. How long did the experiment actually go on before Dolly was created?
Well, I guess that particular experiment took about a year, but the whole project began, I would think, not quite 10 years before, certainly eight or so years before the birth of Dolly.
How long did Dolly live?
For 6 years. Unfortunately, she died because she developed a lung cancer caused by a virus, and there is no treatment for it. So once she and a number of other animals in the group had got the infection, there was nothing we could do.
Amazing. Now, were there any other cloned animals after that?
Yes, we went on. Our objective all along had been to use this technique to make genetic changes. It may seem a paradox, but the technique which can be used to make genetically identical copies can also be used to make genetic changes. If you change the cell using standard molecular biology techniques before you then use it for nuclear transfer. So we went on with PPL Therapeutics to add a gene which made the animals produce a protein needed to treat hemophilia.
No.
This is the group of animals which included Polly and Molly, and it was the first time this approach had been used to making genetic change in animals.
Now, when you did Dolly, was it stem cells or was it embryonic cells?
Dolly herself was the first from an adult cell. That was the really key change in that particular regard. Polly and Molly were taken from fetal cells because that work had already started before we produced Dolly, or at the same time, let's say, as we produced Dolly.
Now, there was a lot of question, and still is, about the cloning process and the moral issues. Now,
yep.
In my opinion, we've got the technology. I'm sure they said that for the first heart transplant, the first liver transplant,
yep.
And now they're saying it about cloning.
I think that is right. I mean, I think we do have to be careful because there are some uses of cloning that, I would strongly disapprove of.
Like what?
But I think you put your finger on a key point, that what often happens is that people are very frightened and anxious when they learn about a new technique. They learn more about it, and then they come to accept it. And before too long, it's actually being taken for granted. And there's actually a negative aspect of this being taken for granted, and that is that people literally taking for granted the new medicines and things that we have, don't realize that the developments came from years of basic research. Now, I firmly believe that there are more benefits still to come in the future than have accumulated in the past, but only if we're prepared to pay for the basic research and the costs of the trials and things which are necessary to demonstrate convincingly that things are safe and that they are beneficial.
Now, Ian, what really bothers me is that a lot of this research is now going on overseas, still in Scotland, in England, in many other countries. And yet in the United States, we're putting a halt on a lot of that. And
yep.
Doesn't that bother you?
Well, I think that I fully understand that to some people, some of the things that we're suggesting are deeply offensive. And I respect their opinions and the right to have opinions. One of the reasons for writing the book, though, was to try to ensure that people understood what it is that we do, the stage of embryo that we work with, and to help make a decision. I mean, just to take that point up for a moment, when you speak of an embryo to a person who isn't involved in the research, they may think of a very small person with organs and fingers and eyes and so on, and that simply isn't the case, won't be for weeks after the stage that we work at. The embryos that we work at are smaller than a grain of sand, and they have very, very few cells in them. For me, a critical point is that it won't be until several more weeks later that the nervous system and the ability to be aware and to be conscious will develop. And it's for that reason that, for me personally, this is an acceptable thing to do. But of course, as I say, I do understand that to some people it's a deeply offensive idea.
Well, the possibilities are absolutely incredible to be cloned body parts. In other words, another heart or another liver or another arm or whatever.
I think there are limits to it. I think that we can produce cells which can repair some organs, like the heart, for example, and the liver. The liver is very good at repairing itself. But complex organs, perhaps like the kidney, and certainly an organ like the arm, would be a huge challenge. So I think that repairing them in this way is probably a very long way off.
Yeah.
For some cases, it may be that we can use the organs from animals, and so there are groups working on being able to take hearts from pigs that have been genetically modified, again using nuclear transfer, so that their organs would be more likely to survive in a patient.
Mm. It's amazing. I mean, how many people are dying every single hour of every single day around the world because there are just not enough organs to go around.
That's correct. That's absolutely right. And this is why the group at Roslin did begin some research to try to develop this technique. And there are others, mostly working here in the United States, who are continuing in that endeavor. And I think it's a great challenge, but a great idea.
Ian, just looking at this as realistically as we possibly can, is it, or do you ever think there will be a way to clone a whole human being, the complexity that it is?
I think there is a possibility that we'll be able to do that. But the primates, so far people have tried with the non-human primates, like monkeys, are the one obvious group that have not yet been cloned. And so we don't understand why. And so, you know, we can't try to make changes in the procedure. But I think if you look in the long term, it's very likely that somebody will overcome these biological differences, and then cloning a person will become possible.
Can I just pause for a minute,
Mary Jane? The line that I have is really very quiet. Is there any possibility that the volume could be turned up?
Yes, I'm sorry about that. We were having a little bit of problems with our streaming today, so I do apologize. Can you hear me a little better now?
No, I can. Thank you, yeah.
Okay, terrific. You know, the other fear that a lot of people have is the fear of designer babies.
Yep.
Oh, we're going to be able to pick the child with the blonde hair and blue eyes and perfect body, et cetera.
Yep.
But, you know, that's a moral issue. If you have people who are crazy enough to do that, they'll find another way anyway.
Maybe, but I think that I have two concerns. One is that, you know, I think, as you say, that, you know, we should really accept our children and ourselves for what we are, with all our strengths and weaknesses and attractions. There's also a biological point that for some of the characteristics that you might wish to give to a child, like the personality characteristics or intelligence, they're controlled by many genes. And in turn, many of those genes would influence a lot of other genes. So what this means is that if you just tweak one of them, you may have some unexpected and undesirable effects, which means that this is an experiment. And I think all of us would agree that you shouldn't experiment on children. That would be a horrible thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I don't think biologists at the present time can imagine getting to the point where we would understand this. So I think that producing children of particular specification is ethically undesirable and biologically impracticable. But let me suggest to you an alternative, which is, I think, more likely to be possible and being simpler might be a more realistic suggestion. There are some very unpleasant diseases like Huntington's disease, ALS, cystic fibrosis, which are caused by an error in a single gene. And it's clear that it is just one gene in that particular case. Now, it might be possible to use the cloning technology to correct that error, so that you don't produce a person who is a clone of anybody else. You simply modify the embryo on the way through so that the child that's born is the same that would have been produced, except it doesn't have the unpleasant disease, whichever one it is. Now, a question I would ask is, actually, what would be morally wrong with that? Because I can't see anything wrong with that at some distant time in the future when it becomes safe to think of doing it.
Well, just please keep up the good work that you're doing, Ian. We need folks like yourself who have the vision, who will look ahead and do the testing that we need to have. And I would dearly love to have you come back sometime and be with us on Pop Off again.
Thank you very much for asking me.
The world needs to hear you and hear you loud and clear.
Thank you.
And also the book, available at all the bookstores now?
It is, yep.
Fantastic.
And I should say that my co-author is really the author. Roger Highfield is a journalist in a major British paper, and it's his style, and I think people would find that it is light and very readable. So even though a lot of the subject is difficult, it's put over in a very clear and readable manner.
Ian, keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and take good care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. The future is right on Pop Off. It's called After Dolly. And I think you'll find some fascinating information on it. I'm going to try and keep up with Ian and the research that he's doing, and I will keep you apprised. Go to popoff.com. Don't forget that, where we're at. We will always have a lot of information for you at popoff.com. In the meantime, live simply, laugh often, love deeply. And just like we do on the show, we dare to dream. That's what Pop Off is all about and will continue to be. I've been for a while. I know where to stay.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.